You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for Friday, the 5th of January, 2018. Looking forward to the action coming up on Friday, of course. Weatherby, hopefully, it survives its morning inspection, as it is our only jumps card coming up on Friday. Besides that, a veritable feast of all weather action from Savile, Dundalk and Kempton. You can hear it all live on William Hill's racing radio from around 20 past 12. That start time will be right back slightly if Weatherby is abandoned, and that's going to be live with Darren Owen, with Ollie Pimlott and with James Millman. But for now on the podcast, my name's John Gibby and I'm joined by the incomparable Chris Pimlott. Happy New Year to you, Pimmers.
Happy New Year to you, Jimmy, and more importantly, a very Happy New Year to all those listeners out in podcast land. My first of the 2018, and hopefully one of many to come.
Hopefully. I know how much you do love doing the podcast.
I do indeed. It's a veritable pleasure. There we go. To say the least.
There we go. We've been doing the podcast for less than a minute and we've already got the word veritable in twice. See, this
high grass
stuff. Yeah, I said veritable as well.
Oh, did you? That's where I got it from. I didn't think it was one of my words, really.
Right, I see.
Yeah. Okay. But yes, a veritable shining cherub you are, Jimmy.
And we do have an exciting weekend of action coming up on Saturday, provided that the Welsh National goes ahead in its rescheduled form. We'll get onto all that in a minute, Pimmers. We'll start off by looking at Friday. And we want to get your nap and your next best selection. I believe they both run at Savile. So let's start off with your next best. Which race is your next best in at Savile?
My next best is in the 3:10 at Savile tomorrow afternoon. We've saw weather action there. And again, it's a very competitive handicap. Class 7 tells its own story, but the art of what you are is what you've got. Very much the same. Top mark of 56 for Decremation and T-Rattle off a miserly 45. So that's what it's all about. And again, you'd have to think that Bingo George, who's a course and distance winner in the past, would certainly have a chance tomorrow afternoon. He was a winner here back in October when he had the cheap pieces on for the first time on that occasion. He's been a little bit in and out since then. But again, in the context of this race, certainly could well be a player. Collodion Gold's interesting, a mare by acclamation, taking the ride there for the Paul Darcy Yard. Again, 23 runs without getting into that heritable, veritable winner's enclosure at, any race course, not just Savile, but any race course. So, again, you've got to take on trust that one day that maiden tag is going to be shed, but I don't feel it's going to be tomorrow. And the other one that's interesting for me is a daughter of Ifraj, who has a very good strike rate on the artificial surface at Savile, and that's Edgebar. A Bay Filly trained by, I think it's Craig Smith, but Sebastian Woods is my eye catcher. I've been hearing very, very good reports about this.
It's Charles Smith, but we'll let you off with that one.
Okay.
Sorry, Charles.
Began with a C, Charles.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's Sebastian Woods, that is for sure, because that's what's written on the paper. So I've got that bit right. But the word on the street is this boy is very, very capable indeed. He's going to be a very successful £7 claimer this season. He's attached to the all-conquering Farhi Yard, who often find a very capable young lad and take him through the ranks, and then it's sink or swim. They have to go out on their own in the big wide world and hopefully do their best. So he's a young boy that you should keep an eye on for the next 6-8 months. Hopefully he's going to ride plenty of winners. But prior to that, I think Declamation, who was a readied winner here last time out, having his first run for the John Butler Yard, and again, despite his £6 penalty, for me, he's the one they've all got to beat. Bingo George, again, is an interesting one, but I think Declamation can get the job done as the next best day of the afternoon.
often when you're looking at Class 7 events at Southwell, it's sort of if they have any winning form at all recently, even if they've gone up a fair bit in the handicap, sometimes that is the way to go. Because if you look at the number of horses who've got rated 45 in this race, it really is quite a lot. And a lot of them don't look like they're going to be winning many races anytime soon.
No, definitely. They're either out of form, have no form, or have very little ability.
Yeah.
And at least Declamation...
Sometimes all three.
Yes, exactly. And at least Declamation last time showed that he's still got the will to win. And as I say, despite the penalty, I feel he's the one they've got to beat.
Declamation then for Pimmons. The next best selection at Southwell on Friday. And what about the Nap then?
Well, this is where you think he's still not got over New Year's Eve. Would he pass the breath test in Studio 47 to be able to do the podcast? Because what I've gone for, young fellow, here is an amateur riders race. Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd.
We've gone all the way up to Class 5 as well.
Exactly. We've jumped two grades as well for this race, which, to be fair, I think there's a reasonable amount of prize money on offer. If my memory serves me right, it could be something like £7,000 or something.
All I've got in front of me here is it's £3,600-ish to the winner.
Right, so maybe 7,000 was the added prize.
That'll be the total part, I imagine. Yeah.
So this is an interesting race, and I just want to go through a couple of jockeys with you to start with. Obviously, you've got Abby McCain, who's been getting plenty of experience of late. Well capable lady rider. Obviously, daughter of Donald McCain. She claims a valuable 3 off Serenity now. You've got Simon Walker, numerous times champion amateur rider, still, although getting a little bit longer in the tooth, is still certainly the man they all have to beat when it comes to riding in these races. You've got Ross Burkett. Don't know too much about Mr. Harding, who rides Johnny Portman's handicap debutante. He would, wouldn't he? But again, he'll obviously lack very little, I think, from the saddle. Then you've got young Tom Midgley, just started out in his career as a jockey. Do believe he's done a little bit of work experience at the Gordon Elliott Yards.
Oh, really?
He's had maybe only 2 or 3 rides on the flat on this horse owned by his dad. He also got unseated off this fellow in a hurdle at Catterick not too long ago. But I'm not so sure downtime's going to be good enough tomorrow or whether the young lad's got enough experience to do the horse justice. But he'll certainly be a name to keep an eye on for the future. And again, after that, you've got Serena Brotherton. Well, goodness gracious me. The elder states lady of the weighing room, Serena Brotherton, takes the mount on Affair, trained by Huey Morrison, I believe. And again, disappointed last time out, but was in that winner's circle prior to that. Needs to bounce back from that disappointing run last time out. But again, will lack absolutely nothing from the saddle with Serena doing the steering. But I'm going to take the maybe easy route here with the Nap and saying that it's the alternative route where I want to go.
So alternate route then for Sir Mark Prescott is the selection.
And the irrepressible Simon Walker.
Irrepressible. There's a good... You've shown an impressive range of vocabulary on the podcast today, Pimmons.
Well, I thank you. It's been working hard with the Midnight Oil.
I see.
Trying to make one more eloquent.
Right. Excellent. So alternate route to the Nap selection. Let's turn our attention
to indeed. Yes, it is indeed.
The weekend's action.
Don't you take the alternative route, Jimmy. You keep just round that highway, boy.
Well, something that has had to take the alternative route is the Welsh Grand National, unfortunately. Had to be rescheduled after, I think it was a waterlogging at Chepstow, was it?
Waterlogging, yes. I mean, they were stood in 2 or 3 feet of water in parts of the track.
Yeah, so it's been rescheduled. It's the second time in 3 years, I believe, this has happened, for the first Saturday in January. The good news is it's going to be live on ITV, so we're still going to get terrestrial TV coverage of the race.
Which is sponsored by us, by the way, William Hill. Sponsored by us.
Oh, it was very seamless there.
It was. That was very, thank you. Very, very good. Very, but I've made it seamless and you've made it a bit difficult.
And the good
a
news
bit choppy.
Is that ITV Racing this Saturday, which is an association with Hi Fi from William Hill.
See, that's, I could have said that, couldn't I? But you've picked up on it from me.
We'll also be showing the Grade 1 Juvenile.
Should we
hurdle.
Maybe have a little practice before we do this next time?
Maybe next time we should.
Yeah, okay.
It's also showing the Grade 1 Juvenile Hurdle on the card, which is fantastic news. But as for the Welsh Grand National, obviously one of the bigger betting handicap chases of the year. And most of them who were originally going to run in the race on the 27th of December are standing their ground. Beware the Bear, for example, for Nicky Henderson, one of the front runners here. I really like the chances of Wild West Wind for Tom George. This has been his target for a long time. Rock the Casbah for Philip Hobbs. We've been hearing, as we record this on Thursday morning, that his participation is in doubt because of the heavy ground. Pimmers, what are your thoughts on the race?
Well, as we sat outside this morning and discussed what we're going to do on the podcast today.
Yeah.
The big question that I asked you was, could we ask the weatherman what the conditions were going to be like and if Chepstow was actually going to go ahead?
Did you actually say ask the weatherman?
I did indeed, yes.
Was that was this all one elaborate ploy to try and...
Correct.
Was it?
Yes, indeedy. Okay. And have you done it or not?
Well, I just thought you were really keen to have a chat about the weather.
Well, I'm much keen to about both.
I think that it's going to be heavy ground, assuming the meeting goes ahead, which, of course, we all hope it does.
Right. Okay. Well, I can tell you one thing. If it does go ahead,
yes,
it will be heavy.
Yes.
There's no two doubts about that.
Yes.
So that's what you've got to look towards if you're looking for something that is going to take a hand in the finish. And because of the heavy ground, don't be surprised if something jumps out the bag at a big, big price, you know?
Which, ask the weatherman at 10 to 1.
I wouldn't say he's a big price.
No.
I think he's a value for money price.
Well,
he's
joint fourth in the market. So.
Yeah. But he's got, you know, he's got good form. He's solid form. He stays the trip well. Like Jack Barber as a trainer, and also Nick Schofield, very capable pilot indeed. So I certainly feel that Ask the Weatherman comes there with a big chance. As far as the Philip Hobbs horse is concerned, I couldn't be backing them at any price at this moment in time.
Any Hobbs horse.
They're just so out of form, aren't they? That you need to just sit and watch them till they come back to some sort of form. Obviously, Kerry Lee's got a good record in this race. Bishop's Road wouldn't be without his chance, and he'll be a double-figure price, that's for sure. Of the others, again, you're going further down. Vivacious Venetia's got a few down there in Emperor's Choice and Hobo de Obo.
Back them all in the mud, Pimmers.
Exactly. Well, that's what you need to do with Venetia.
Yeah.
Her horses do seem to thrive on the heavy growing, that is for sure. Again, I wouldn't be looking towards the Colin Tizard runner, to be fair. I thought, I'd like to see them in a bit better shape of form.
Sings but, a hat-trick, but those two runs have both come over hurdles back on to me.
Yeah, but again, he's got to up his game if he's going to take a hand in the finish there on Saturday. And I think, his price with us reflects his chance that of about a 25-1 shot.
So, if we're going for a selection, having said that you think something might come out of the woodwork and win this at a big price, you're going for the relatively short price to Ask the Weatherman 10-1.
Ask the Weatherman for me each way at 10-1 in a competitive race. But what I'm saying is, if you feel you've got a fancy for one at 20-1, 25-1, then I would keep the faith in your selection because of the ground being as it is, something like that could well come out and do them all.
Okay, I like Wild West Wind at 8-1 joint favourite. For
oh, that's
now.
A very original one, isn't
well,
it?
Well, to be fair, Pimmers, when the prices first came out for this race, he was about 14.
Well, you did say to me again in our production meeting, listen, there's a wild wind coming from the west.
I did indeed.
That helped the track dry out, so yeah. I've no fears about the racing being on.
Yeah, that is exactly what I said, which is ironic because I think this horse wants it as deep as it can possibly be. But anyway, he's probably been my bet in the race. I hate backing favourites in these sorts of races, but you've got to back the horse you think is going to win the race, Pimmers.
And that's what I'm saying. If you fancy one at a big price, keep the faith.
Fantastic. Right, so that's the Welsh National. It's going to be this weekend, hopefully, and it will be part of a big Saturday of action, which you can hear all live on William Hill's Racing Radio. Pimmers, just before we go, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Purposely didn't ask you this question beforehand.
Okay.
Because I want to see what's...
What's the point of having a production meeting then, if you're going to spring something on me like this, Jimmy?
I mean, the production meeting was sort of you eating a few biscuits while I kept handing you various pieces of paper with form on them.
Yeah,
so
then that's what I call a meeting.
It's not like it was the most professional affair.
Were we expecting anything else?
Possibly
unlikely.
Possibly not. But anyway, give us a horse, a yard, a jockey, something like that. You know, just one thing from any of those categories that you're looking forward to in 2018. What is the Pimmers one to watch for 2018?
I'm going to give you a trainer, a jockey to watch.
Okay.
Okay. Who aren't particularly household names.
That's what we're going for here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you the name trainer Dennis Coakley.
Yeah.
Is the trainer. Okay. Done a little bit of research on two things over the festive period. And believe it or not, he's got a very, very profitable strike rate.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Dennis Coakley as my under-the-radar trainer.
Yeah.
And for my jockey, still an apprentice, Callum Shepherd.
Okay, yeah.
Interesting one. And I'm going to give you a horse.
Mm.
Okay. The only thing is, he's not going to be running under rules.
Oh, okay. So from your specialist field of point-to-pointing, then?
From my field of point-to-pointing, Streets of Milan.
Okay. By Milan, by any chance?
Yes. Oh, amazing. Yeah. You're so good on
How
your breeding.
How do I work it out?
I don't know. At times you just amaze me, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know.
Amaze me. Yeah.
There wasn't anything else to add to that, obviously.
Nothing to add at all.
Fantastic. Well, best of luck with your selections the rest of the week and the rest of 2018, members. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Let it be the first of many.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.